Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Well, Happy New Year. I hope your 2019 is already off to a fantastic start, that you've already gone to the gym several times this week and started reading that book that you've been meaning to read and finally committed to that project at work you plan, that you're sticking to your diet with discipline, and you haven't even gotten angry at your kids not once this week. It's good for the soul to make resolutions, even when we have the nagging feeling that we're not going to be able to persevere in them. It's still a good thing to do. The new year is a good time to set goals and plans for the future, and it's also a great opportunity to look back. You know, when you look back on 2018, you can probably, hopefully, identify some wins that are worth celebrating, that you're grateful for. I know that I have some wins from 2018 that I'm very grateful for. We had the Rebuilt Conference in April, which was a great success and a lot of fun. We welcomed over 1,000 church leaders from across the country and elsewhere, and I think it's had a big impact. Then there was our 50th anniversary celebration at the end of November, which was a win. It was a lot of fun as we celebrated 50 years of grace and growth here at our parish. We finally completed the manuscript for our book, our new book, which will be coming out in the fall of this year, and you'll be hearing more about that for sure. Last spring, I went to Germany and Austria for speaking engagements for Rebuilt and met lots of really wonderful church leaders there. This past June, together with Daniel Miller, our youth pastor, we had the opportunity to spend some time with two of my very favorite people in the whole world, Cardinal Tim Dolan and Pastor Rick Warren. We discussed Catholic evangelical cooperation. So lots of wins in the past year that I'm very grateful for. Every year brings its share of victories and blessings, hopefully, and every year definitely brings its trials and troubles. And here at our parish, it's no different. In 2018, we said goodbye to way too many parishioners who died last year. We dealt with unplanned staff departures that created some disruption, and we witnessed the abuse crisis in the larger Catholic Church along with everybody else. Lots of trials and troubles for sure. You know, when something unexpected happens that's a good thing, we call that a pleasant surprise. When the unexpected is not a good thing, when it's unwelcomed, it can be anything from jarring and annoying to overwhelming, depending upon the seriousness of the situation. Loss of a job, loss of a loved one, a spouse walks out, a college application is rejected. Even criticism and complaint, it can be very difficult to deal with. We make plans, but life doesn't always go as planned. And sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it isn't. As a student of life and a student of people, here is what interests me and hopefully what will be of interest to you. And if the topic I'm going to explore for the next few minutes isn't of interest to you, feel free to check out. You can spend your time thinking about the playoffs and praying for the Ravens. That would be okay too. But I think that this topic will be of interest to most of you, because if you're here, you're lifelong learners. So here's the question that I have. Why do some people survive and even thrive in times of unexpected problems or challenges, and other people don't? Why is that? Why do some people rise to the occasion and others fall short or just fall apart? Take two different people in exactly the same circumstance or situation. One sours, and the other takes off and soars. And as pastor, I'm also further interested in why some people can actually grow closer to God during times of crisis and others move further away from Him. Take two different people in the same unexpected event. One grows closer to God and deeper in faith, and the other runs away. Their faith fragments and falls apart. Why is that? And it's an important question, because our faith tells us that God wants to use the circumstances of our lives, all of the circumstances of our life, to grow our faith. And so He will permit, sometimes even prompt, unexpected problems or challenges so that we will grow in trust through them. During those unexpected times, God can work. God can work powerfully in us. And do you know why? Because He's got our attention. Of course, by definition, we can't plan for the unexpected, but we can prepare for it. There are habits and disciplines, some lifestyle choices that we can predictably choose to grow closer to God. And as a parish staff, we work all the time to communicate the importance of those practices, to make them easy and accessible for you to take. We call them steps. We talk about serving, tithing and giving, engaging in small groups, practicing prayer and the sacraments, and sharing your faith. And so over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at how to prepare for the unexpected by taking those steps, but also what we do when the unexpected arrives. And as part of this series, we'll be learning both from Scripture, of course, but also as well from the testimony of some of our fellow parishioners, which I think you're going to find very compelling and most interesting. But here's the point, and here's the bottom line for this whole series. The sermon series, in a sentence, it's this: the unexpected and what we do with it. The unexpected and what we do with it is a key factor for growing in faith. That's what we're going to be learning about in this series. Well, to help get us started this week, and this year, we're going to look at a passage from the Gospel of Matthew. You know, today is the Feast of the Epiphany, which celebrates the wise men, the Magi's visit to the child Jesus. The story is found and only found in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew doesn't tell us all the details of the story. He doesn't tell us, for instance, how many Magi there were. Tradition tells us that there were three, probably because Matthew does tell us that they brought three gifts. The passage we're looking at today tells us their story, as well as the story of a character named Herod, King Herod the Great, as he was called, although, as we'll see, he wasn't so great. We see the Magi and this King Herod as polar opposites when it comes to how we respond to the unexpected. Take a look at their story. The Gospel of Matthew tells us, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, and we have come to worship. The Magi were probably from Persia, what is now modern-day Iran. And that means that they were Zoroastrians, an ancient monotheistic religion with unexpected parallels to the Jewish faith. Zoroastrians, for instance, were messianic. They awaited a savior, a messiah, as did the Jewish people. And as a byproduct of this messianic faith of theirs, the Zoroastrian culture was very advanced in the science of astronomy, more than any other culture in the ancient world, because they believed that when the Messiah came, his arrival would be portended in the stars. So it's not surprising that they would be the ones to recognize the celestial wonders that accompanied the birth of Christ and then come searching for him. If you're searching for a king, where's the logical place to look? A palace, right? And that's where they end up, the king's palace in Jerusalem. When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. News that there might be a new king is not exactly welcome news to the current king. The Magi's arrival fuels Herod's paranoia. But even if you're not crazy, it's no fun to hear that someone else is slated for your job and already waiting in the wings. For me, this question comes up all the time. I get it everywhere I go. Sure, nativity's okay, but what happens when you get hit by a bus? Why does it always have to be a bus? You know? But it's no fun, you know, thinking about succession and maybe even being threatened by someone who's waiting in the wings for emotionally healthy people. And Herod was far from healthy. He was a brutal sociopath who ruled violently, even by the standards of his time, which was a very violent time. He killed his favorite wife and several of his sons because he suspected they were plotting against him. And just to be fair to Herod, they probably were. So he's crazy, he's paranoid, he's violent, he's surrounded by a dysfunctional family, any one of whom would gladly murder him given half a chance. See, your family's not that bad. But as crazy as he is, he acts shrewdly. He pauses to do his research and homework. He asks his advisors what scripture had to say about the birth of Christ. Where would it be? He himself wouldn't have known because he didn't know scripture because he wasn't a religious man. So his advisors suggest that it's a place called Bethlehem. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship." Herod called the Magi secretly. Why did he do that? Well, he's seething. He's murderously angry, but he doesn't trust the people around them. He certainly doesn't trust them with this project of identifying this potential successor. So instead, he places his trust in these total strangers, the Magi. That's how paranoid he is. Of course, Herod had no intention of honoring Jesus or worshiping. He wants the Magi to go to figure the situation out, to search and identify the child, so that then he can go and kill him, removing any potential contender to his throne. There's a sweetness to the Christmas story for sure that we rightly love and celebrate, but there's another side to it too. There's a darker side, which this story reveals. So after their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star they'd seen at its rising preceded them until it came and it stopped over the place where their child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and worshiped him. They opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gifts, like most all of the details in this story, are rich in symbolism, and we could spend a lot of time exploring that, but we're not going to because we don't have a lot of time. Instead, the story ends for us in this way. Having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. What's the difference? What's the difference between Herod and the Magi when it comes to dealing with the unexpected? What can we learn from them? Well, over the course of this series, we're going to discover quite a few lessons that we can learn from people who have grown through unexpected circumstances. But today, we just name two that we can learn from Herod and the Magi. Lesson number one, first lesson they teach us. People who grow in faith in unexpected circumstances grow because they're connected to a community. They have relationships that help them really lean into the challenge or the problem. They have a support system. If you look at the pattern of Herod's life, he might have been king for sure, but he's all alone and on his own. He can't trust anyone, not even his own family. The Magi are colleagues. They make their discovery and then their journey together. There's a collaboration going on. And look how the story ends. They worship together. Herod is solitary, isolated, and alone. The Magi are a community. They're really a small group. People who grow in times of unexpected challenges or crisis, who get better rather than bitter, are connected to a community. And that's one of the reasons why we think everybody should have a church family, and why we invite you to become a member of our church family if you're not already. It's why we encourage you to get connected into a small group, too. Don't wait for a crisis. The new year is the perfect time to do it. The benefits are myriad, but one of the big ones is that a church family, a small group fellowship can give you an incredibly helpful, supportive context to cope with the unexpected. That's one lesson. Lesson number two. People who build their faith in unexpected circumstances see the problem or challenge as an opportunity to grow. They see the problem or challenge as an opportunity to grow. Herod is myopic. He's self-absorbed. He hears unexpected news. He's not interested in finding out what's going on. He just wants to control and manipulate the situation. The Magi are explorers. They're seekers. They're lifelong learners. They learn and grow closer to God through this unexpected experience. Now, people who don't grow during unexpected challenges, they're at least a little like Herod. They want control. They want to be in charge. They want to be king over the situation, and that's exactly what they're not, leading to the same kind of frustration, maybe eventually even fury, that Herod brought on himself. In the face of the unexpected, they fail utterly to see what God is doing. And then they might lash out and make everybody else miserable. That's what Herod did. Or turn in and play the victim in self-destructive ways. Or get mad at God. People get mad at God, wondering why he allowed it to happen. You know, not everything that happens to you is God's will. This world is not exactly as God wants it, not at all. Which is why we pray every single day, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, one day on earth as it is in heaven." God's will is not always done on earth, but God can always work through any situation turning it or some aspect of it into good for us or for others around us. God is always at work in every circumstance. Recognizing that, that's wisdom. And wise men and women still seek him in the unexpected.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com.